Welcome to Water of the Word, the radio ministry of Pastor Steve Hadley of Harvest Family Fellowship in Reno. Join us today as Pastor Steve continues through a verse-by-verse study of the wonderful Old Testament book of Kings. Old Testament pictures illustrate and model New Testament truths. Today, as we learn more about the foundational history of God's people and the nation of Israel, we'll also see that the people, the problems, and God's supernatural interventions are not so different from our lives today. With so many challenges coming against God's church and God's people, we need the right spiritual tools and biblical insights to stand firm and overcome. Pastor Steve's study in Kings will show us some very practical tools that may be used powerfully in these last days. So come on along. May we all be refreshed and inspired as we are washed by the water of the Word.
Technically speaking, it's not your sin that someone earns their way to hell. Now hear me out. How much sin was paid for? Hitler's, his too? Saddam Hussein? Yes, everybody. Technically speaking, here's why people earn their way to hell. By disregarding the free gift of salvation. Let me say it in another way. How could a loving God send anybody to hell? They don't understand the cross. To get to hell, you have to shove aside over and over and over the dead body of our Lord, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, His living Word every day, and the constant witness of the Holy Spirit. You literally have to do this all your spiritual life. I'm not listening! I refuse! And the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, what is that? You close your eyes in death, saying, I don't believe the witness of the Holy Spirit. I refuse His conviction. You have called the Holy Spirit a liar. That is the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, every other sin will be forgiven, man, except the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. And if you've ever read it, you go, I wonder what that is. I sure don't want to do that. What is it? Here's how that happens. When someone dies, living the last of their life, refusing the witness, the constant witness of the Holy Spirit. That's the blasphemy of the Spirit. So with that in mind, here's the Lord, died for all of our sin, resurrected from the grave like He promised, like was prophesied. And then He extends to everyone this free gift of salvation. Well, what do you have to do? Like any gift, the only thing you have to do is what, everybody? Just receive it. Now, what about a gift, by definition, is earned? Nothing. And if you didn't do anything to earn your salvation, is there anything you can do to unearn it? Is everybody okay? Here's the key, though. If you are truly born again, you have literally and truly, with all of your heart, put your full weight into what Jesus did and what He taught. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him, and there's that word in Greek, full weight, like the nesty plunge. It shall not perish, but have. How long does everlasting last? If it had a definite ending, He would have used another word. You can't tell people that. Why? Because if they believe that they can't do anything to lose their salvation, they'll get crazy. And then they'll use this as a license to get jiggy with it. That's not how it works, says Paul. If the Holy Spirit is truly in you, sin will bum you out. The most miserable Christians on the planet are those that are backslidden. Because the constant witness of a loving Holy Spirit in their lives saying, loved one, I still love you. My gifts and callings are without repentance. I don't know why you're hanging out with those people and going to those places. Do we remember how awful that turned out? Yes. There's a very frightening verse in the New Testament. I remember the first time I encountered it as a new believer. Jesus said, "Not everybody who says to me on judgment day, not everybody who says, 'Lord, Lord,' not everybody who calls me Lord or wears the appropriate jewelry, not every one of those are going to make it to heaven. Here's what I will say to many. I never knew you. Depart from me into everlasting judgment." I remember when I encountered that as a new believer, I'm all, "What?" I ran quickly to the nearest pastor that I could grab at Little Country Church. And he quickly turned me to another section of Scripture in chapter 10. "My sheep," says the Lord. It was red letters, very comforting. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Pastor John was his name. He said to me, "So, if you know the Lord and he knows you," "Yeah?" "Could he ever say, 'I never knew you'?" "No." Jehoram is blown away and impressed mightily by this obvious move of God, the miraculous resurrection of this son who once was dead. And he also knows that Elijah is a peculiar guy in that he tells the future in advance. The Lord uses him for bona fide supernatural miracles. He's impressed. He even gives to the ministry. Is he saved? Chapter 6 of Hebrews, one more time, verse 4. "It is impossible for those who were once enlightened." This idea of enlightenment is an idea of they were taught in a correct biblical theological manner. They heard the right stuff and have tasted the heavenly gift. How many of you have been to Yogurt Beach? How many of you love Yogurt Beach? And there's U-Swirl and all the different places. And when you walk in and you have a whole assortment of yogurts, you know, you mind all the change out of the sofa. So, how much can I get for this many? And they say, "Would you like a sample?" And they bring out the world's most microscopic spoon. And then they give you a what? "Have you purchased yet?" That word for sample is this word here. They've sampled, tasted the heavenly gift, and have become partakers. That's the Greek word metikos, and it means they shared alongside. Let me put it in another word. They were around when the Holy Spirit was moving. They haven't bought in. They've seen the power of in the presence of a living God. So they've sampled, they've been taught, they've heard the right stuff, and they were even there, metikos, they were sharing alongside, seeing the same thing. They have tasted, there's your word sample again, the good word of God and the powers of the age to come. They were around when the Holy Spirit was around. They saw the Holy Spirit moving. If they fall away, for those guys to renew them again to repentance, since they crucify again for themselves the Son of God, put him to open shame. Let me put this in more practical terms. If someone who is a seeker, so to speak, and they come in and the Lord has moved on their heart and it's touched something deep within them. And they come in with an honest seeking heart. And then they watch the Holy Spirit and they hear the teaching. And they're around when the Holy Spirit is around and they see people lifting hands maybe. And feeling the presence of God. Ooh, I feel that. Get right to the edge. Nah, I'm not going to commit. What more can God reveal of himself to them. I believe what Paul is saying here, the writer of the book of Hebrews, is seekers who get up right up near the edge and have seen what they've seen, if seekers don't advance to know more and ultimately commit their lives to the Lord, they will fall back. And I think there's a spiritual component as well. Let me take you another place. Galatians. Go back to the left a little bit. Look at Galatians chapter 5. Let me show you something else that may have shaken a couple of us up a time or two. Galatians chapter 5. Look at verse number 19. Paul says, "Now the works of the flesh are evident in these." Here they come. How do I know when the flesh is doing the driving? Look at verse 16. Paul says, "I say then, walk in the Spirit." That is to say, let Jesus do the driving. Word, worship, prayer, and fellowship. "And you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh." That is a tremendous promise. This isn't a 12-step program. This isn't months and months of in-depth counseling. This is a promise that to you and I, who when we fall on the rock of Jesus Christ, no matter what our issue is, and every day we're renewing our heart and mind in word, worship, prayer, and fellowship, the promise is, supernaturally, you're going to overcome. Verse 19. "Now, however, if the flesh is doing the driving, the works of the flesh are evident, which are these. Adultery," we're pretty sure we know what that is, sex outside of marriage. "Fornication." This word fornication in Greek is the Greek word porneia. That's where we're going to get our word pornography. "Uncleanness," that's the goofy stuff that plays in the theater of our mind. "Lewdness" is what we actually start to do. "Idolatry," we have stuff that eclipses the face and the word of God. Some of us think, "Well, I don't have a Buddha in my house." It may not be a Buddha. How's your bitterness? How's your unforgiveness? Are you keeping an extensive file against your spouse or someone in your life? Anything that eclipses God's clear word, get free. And we're all, "No, thank you. I'd like to hold on to this because I have a reason, a good reason to stay broken." It's an idol. It's letting you know that you don't trust the word of God. Sorcery. Many of you know that this word in Greek for witchcraft is pharmakia. It's where we're going to get our word pharmaceuticals. This has a notion of drug use that alters the good, solid, sober mind that God gave us, that opens the door for spiritual shenanigans. Okay, I don't have any of those. Look at the next one. Hatred. Are you holding a grudge? The flesh is doing the driving. Contentions. Wherever I go, there's confusion, not peace. Jealousy. I am upset by the good fortune of somebody else. I'm not satisfied with what God has for me. I want what they have. Outbursts of anger and wrath. Selfish ambition. What I do is self-motivated because it will do something good for me. Dissensions. Are there church splits around you or your home fellowship? Have you been involved in a situation where you took a side in a polarizing situation, boisterous, and vented a strong voice, us against them? Not the heart of God. Heresies, envy, murders. And Jesus said, you know, if you hate a brother in your heart, it's the same thing as murder. Drunkenness, revelries. That's just hanging around with party people. God says, if this is you, the flesh is doing the driving. And the like, of which I tell you beforehand. Now it gets serious. By the way, are Christians capable of any of these things? Answer, absolutely. So before you get like, "Well, so I don't have salvation," watch what he says. "Just as I also told you that in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." This is the Greek word praso, and it means habitual, without thought. When a Christian who truly has the Spirit of God in their life, and they go do these things, there's a little part of them that goes, dude, what are you doing here? You know better. The tenor, the spirit, the voice of God is, come back. The voice of the enemy is, you're a loser. You might as well just stay out there. The heart of our Father is always reconciliation. Amen. But this is a sobering thought. Those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. That is sobering. And a lot of people wear the badge, Christian, and they lift their hands high. But when they leave the church, if you catch them unaware of your presence, you really can't tell a whole difference between them and the non-saved person they're hanging with. Paul is saying, God's true salvation is absolutely secure. But here's the deal. Are you truly born again? How do you know? Because these sins will bother you. And you won't stay in them. But if you do stay in them, does that mean I'm not saved? Here's my only reasonable recourse to you. If you want to stay there, I can't tell you that. Go back to 2 Kings. Let me show you more about Jehoram, and we'll probably end with this. 2 Kings. Look at 2 Kings 3. I want to show you something that's, I think, even more to the story. Hey, says Gehazi, God is moving in your midst. He is? Yeah, this woman's son was dead, and God miraculously raised him. No kidding. Seriously? And she's all, seriously. Looks at the boy. Seriously? And the boy's all, seriously. Whoa. I like this lady. Give her all of her land back, and I'm even going to contribute to your ministry because you're awesome. Is he converted? Let me show you this. 2 Kings chapter 3. Look at verse 1. Let's look at verse 1. Now Jehoram, the son of Ahab, became king over Israel at Samaria in the 18th year of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, and reigned for 12 years. And he did what, everybody? Evil in the sight of the Lord, but not exactly like his father and mother. For he put away the sacred pillar of Baal that his father had made. He had an event that rattled him in such a way that he says, I'm taking that idol down. And those that were watching him said, well done. Could it be sort of close to someone who comes down the aisle? Or they don't come down the aisle at all. We say, who wants Jesus Christ and his free gift of salvation? Lift your hands, and they're all, okay. And they had an event. Verse 3. Nevertheless, he practiced. He persisted in the sins of Jeroboam. This is a powerful teaching tonight, loved one. Remember how Jesus said that the very last church of the very last days, he described the Laodicean church. And he said, they have all the trappings that the humans think this is an awesome church. We got lots of stuff that's cool. Look how rich we are. Remember what Jesus said to them? When in fact you are poor, naked, wretched. But here's how you can fix it, Laodicean church. Ask of me gold tried in the fire. How many of you love fire in your life? We don't like fire. But a little part of me, with Hebrews in the rearview mirror, they've tasted. With the model of Jehoram in front of us, he saw the resurrected child, the resurrected son, the only son. The resurrected only son. I like this. I'm going to contribute to the ministry. I watch and I see firsthand the miraculous presence of the living God. But I'm not going to change. God loves you just like you are. Amen? Like we are. But He loves us too much to let us stay this way. And the squeeze play, the holy hug of the Lord, is to show us what we have in here. God said, if any man be in Christ Jesus, he is a new creation. Amen? Old things are passed away. How many things have become new? All things have become new. Yes, we say. Can I say with great kindness, conviction, and great empathy, have old things passed away? Let's all stand together. You know, you guys are the Wednesday night crowd. There's likely a very high percentage of you that have figured this one out already in your life. You typically wouldn't be here on a Wednesday if you didn't have a real love for the Lord and the things of God. But would you be aware with me that there are so many models of church out there that they're packing in the humans like never before? This pastor lives with a tremendous responsibility, knowing that if anyone comes to Harvest Family Fellowship, have they heard the gospel? I am a wretched, hopeless sinner that needed God's pry bar to wench me out, His endless power to reach down and pull me up and set my feet on a rock. And I'm learning over the years that when I come to church, church is not for me. Church is to respond to an amazing, holy God that saved me from hell and saved me from sin. And the adoration and appreciation and the unspeakable thankfulness, that's why I'm here. So you know what? If the seats are a little hard, if the air conditioning is a little off, if someone says something awful to me or takes my seat or my parking spot, it doesn't bother me, because I'm not here for me. I'm here for Him. And when I am here for Him, I keep my eyes open. Lord, is there somebody that doesn't know these things yet? Is there somebody that I see sitting by themselves? Is there a single mom burdened down with a diaper bag and 5 kids? Is there someone that I can go to and just say, so good to meet you. Is there anything that I can pray for you today? And never take for granted that because they're in this building, well, they must be saved. Oh, you'd be surprised. First things first, have you given your heart and life completely to the living God? Jesus Christ, who paid for all of your sin. Well, gee, I don't know. And you get to say, let's just make sure, and lead them through the sinner's prayer. Lord, I pray and I thank you for Harvest Family Fellowship. Yeah, the building stuff is pretty cool. But it doesn't mean anything if we have a snappy building but a dead church. Or any of us running around in some religious ritual situation, Lord. Oh, I pray that all we are people who know the church is not a place for nice people to get nicer. It's a place where dead people come and learn where the life is. I pray these things for Harvest, Lord, in Jesus' precious name. And all the blessed living stones of God said, amen.
You've been listening to the Book of Kings with Pastor Steve Hadley of Harvest Family Fellowship in Reno. We hope these Old Testament truths have been helpful models of just how powerfully God works right now in the life and ministry of every believer. If you missed any of today's message or would like to hear it in its full unedited format, you can watch this or any of Pastor Steve's teachings at our website. just visit us at harvestreno.org. That's www.harvestreno.org. Come join us Sundays at 10:30 and Wednesday evenings at 6:30. Harvest is located at 350 South Rock Boulevard in Reno. Until next time, Pastor Steve encourages all of us to follow Acts 2:42 and Word, Worship, Prayer, and Fellowship every day. May the Lord bless you and keep you as we are washed by the water of the Word.